Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Pastor of Reunion Church in Dallas, Texas, Richard Ellis. He'll take the next few minutes to share some great words of hope, insight, challenge, and encouragement. And in today's lost and searching world, that's something everyone desperately needs to hear. Of course, you can always listen to, download, and share this or any talk anytime on the website, richardellistalks.com. Then at the end of today's program, Pastor Richard himself will share an urgent need with you about the future of Richard Ellis Talks as we simply try to keep the lights on and continue to be a light of hope. So let's go ahead and get things off and running with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Attaboy. And I'd like to read you some, I think I got most of these things off of sarcasmsociety.com if you're interested in going there. But here are just some things you can say to people. I wish we were better strangers. I'll always cherish the original misconception I had of you. It's a plastic surgeon you need, not a doctor. Love, a temporary insanity curable by marriage. Ambrose Bierce said that. Groucho Marx, if you find it hard to laugh at yourself, I would be happy to do it for you. Oscar Wilde, some cause happiness wherever they go, others whenever they go. Now, you say, well, nobody would say stuff like that to anybody, would they? But you know what? The closest we ever get sometimes to encouraging people is sarcasm. We have these twisted ways of saying something and, you know, I really want to say something nice, but you know, if I go there, I'll make myself look weak or you'll feel too good. Now, why do we do that to each other? Now, I'm going to try to say this at the end, but I'm going to say it at the beginning in case I forget at the end. The more insecure you are personally and the more insecure you are in your relationship with God, the less able you will be to give out encouragement. If you receive encouragement from God and you have a good working relationship with Him and you think He's basically on your side, you will have a very easy time dispensing encouragement. George Matthew Adams said this, "There are high spots in all of our lives and most of them have come about through encouragement from someone else. I don't care how great, how famous, or successful a man or woman may be, each hungers for applause." And see, we do this with little kids. You let a bunch of little preschool kids get up and sing awful music. And when they are done, what do? Boom, we start clapping. Everybody gets up. We cheer. Why? Because we want them to think and to know that they are great, regardless of their performance. And then what do? We quit clapping. Nobody's clapping for me. Why am I going to clap for you? So if you're not getting your kudos, if you're not hearing attaboy from God, you're probably not going to give it out too much. Dads sometimes can feel this way. Husbands, dads, men, you say, man, you know what? I'm busting my butt. I'm going to work. You know, I'm doing all this, paying the bills, trying to keep this family together. Not a single word of this or that. I'm not talking about my house in the past, but not now. You know, any man, even if you're hearing some nice things, you know, it's nice every once in a while to hear that. And women go, I'm telling you, I'm getting to you. Because even when I go there and talk about how men need a little encouragement, I guarantee you there's a percentage of the women listening right now going, well, women feel the same way too, right? How many of you women honestly will say when I started talking about men, thought of yourself in that equation, thought, you know, it'd be nice. Be honest. Pray for the rest of the women who are lying through life. Whatever. Being a boss in a company, in a job, you're the guy, you own the place, you run the place. And so there is no one saying anything nice to you. So you go, you know what? It ain't so fun for me. It's not going to be fun for you. You have power. And the problem is we kind of think HR will throw us out because you can't go around telling people they're doing a good job because then they're going to want a raise. So let's keep a lid on people so they wonder whether they're doing a good job. And then at the end of the year when we do their little evaluation, well, you did 5% better. And we're so terrified someone's going to be inspired or encouraged. Think of how productive you could be. Just a simple attaboy, attagirl along the way. Now, think back to teachers, your parents, whoever it may be. I want to start with some specific categories. How many of you can think back over your life and there was specifically a teacher, and maybe it was a one-time deal, that teacher, someone spoke something to you that was so powerful it made you believe you could be somebody, you could make it? Raise your hand if a teacher impacted your life in that way. Now look around the room. How many of you have parents? Not everybody has this experience, but you know for a fact, you look back and go, you know what? My parents believed in me. There were moments when things were said. They said some mean things maybe, but ultimately they didn't just think things about me. They spoke those things into my life. Raise your hand if you're in that. Now look around. Go to Matthew chapter 3. Now the sad thing is, if you have not been the recipient of stuff like this and you are hoarding praise because you never get any or have gotten any, you are killing people. You are destroying people without even knowing it because you're not letting go of something they desperately need. And you think, well, oh, so-and-so, they're good at that. And they're, you know, they don't need anybody telling them that, because if you tell them that, they'll get a big head. You know what? I'd rather encourage the fire out of somebody and let God deal with a big head than them be crushed by the enemy because they think they're nothing. Let God worry about bringing people down to humility instead of you managing their estate, their mental mindset of feeling like they're crap. I had another word, but just thank God I used that. People feel just horrible a lot of the time, and you can come along and just shoot them up with just simple words. Just, man, attaboy, great job. Because we all need some helium in our little balloon. We need some wind in our sails. You say, well, but you're just talking about positive thinking. You know what? Get over that. I'm talking about just living and loving on people and challenging and encouraging them. Just somebody to come along and say, you know what, dude, you're doing a great job. Let me give you a challenge, because I may forget this at the end. Here's what I want you to do if you work someplace. I want you to, before you go into work this week, one of the days this week, I want you to write down the names of people and specific things about them in their job that you could legitimately say something that they would hear and go, wow, I don't hear that, or that's amazing, thank you for saying that. Walk up, pat somebody on the back, dude, attaboy, great job on that. Now think about it. If you have any reservation whatsoever about doing that, can you explain that to me? You think that's of God? Well, I don't want anybody, you know, what are you thinking? If you run an office, you are the leader, you are the motivator, you ought to be the one putting the wind in their sails. The economy's tough, business is tough, whatever. If people are working twice as hard as they've been working, then tell them that. I appreciate you being here. I appreciate what you do. Does it make sense? Now, let's find some of this in the Bible just so I can justify my thoughts. Matthew chapter 3. Okay, now this is very difficult to explain. I don't completely understand what I'm about to tell you, but it is true. Jesus coming to earth, born of a virgin, is a man. He is God, but he is man. Now, how in the world they pulled this off? So you've got a man with all the stuff, tempted as we are, yet without sin, the Bible says. And yet he's God at the same time. It is a miraculous, unbelievable thing that went down when Jesus showed up as the God-man. You cannot forget that he was a man as well. And there are things that come with being a man. And his father, God the Father, knows this about Jesus on the planet. He's still God, but he is divested himself. He has let go of all this stuff, some of the stuff, all the glory that he had, and now he's down here with us. So read Matthew chapter 3 with me. Let's jump in at verse 13. And the context here is John the Baptist, his cousin, is out in the wilderness baptizing. It says, then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you're coming to me? But Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. But when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And suddenly, so you got Jesus, God and the man, there's Jesus, that's one person of the Trinity. The Spirit of God in the form of a dove lights on him. There's the Holy Spirit. And then suddenly a voice came from heaven. And now the Father himself, all three of them in this spot, manifest and convene. And this is all that we're told that the Father says. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. If that's all you as a dad said to your kid in public in front of other people, can you imagine how far that would go? This is my beloved son, and I'm pleased with him. Introduce yourself, boy. Did you get that? Did you have a dad who paraded you around? This is my boy right here. Don't mess with my boy. My boy. And your boy does something. Atta boy. Your girl does something. Atta girl. Good job. You need an attaboy even when you're down. And if you read the context of this, and however many times this voice shows up, I'm going to read you some places where he does speak and people hear it. God knows when he needs it. Because if you keep reading, he's about to go into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights and get his butt kicked. Fasting. And then the enemy's going to show up and try to derail him, offer him everything he's got just to get him to quit and to bow down so that he can't rescue us like he came to do. He needed some encouragement. This is my beloved son, and I am well pleased in him. He's doing a great job. Matthew 17, verse 1, for context. Now, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves. Jesus and these three guys, these three buddies. And you say, well, what is that about? We all have friends. I love all you people, even the people I don't know. I love you, but you know what? I'm not probably going skiing with you. I may not play golf with you. You better pray to God you have some friends that when you need some encouragement, they are there to encourage you because that time has already come and they haven't been there probably. Because if you won't give it, there's a good chance people say, well, he's not really willing to dish that out. He probably have a hard time hearing that, so I'll hold off. And we play these stupid games. Instead of stepping into somebody's life and when they need some encouragement, when they need some love, spit it out. If you feel it, speak it. When you're angry, you manage to get it all out. No holding back there. And I think that anger is just the other end of the pendulum. If you can be that passionate and angry, then you're bound to be capable of extreme intense feeling on the other end. You just don't have the guts to spit it out. Jesus takes these guys up on this mountain, his buddies. Out of the 12, there are three. And it says here, after 6 days, he takes Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. They got to see something that nobody else got to see. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with them. So there's four of them, now there's five of them, and these are dead people. Moses and Elijah. You say, well, how did they know it was Moses and Elijah? I think if you saw them, you'd kind of know it was them. Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with them. So now you're talking to these dead people. And in the conversation, maybe you pick up, hi, I'm Moses. How are you? I'm John. What the heck is going on? You know, whatever happened up there. Like, this is some normal deal. Jesus is on fire. You know, he's lit up. And Moses and Elijah are there. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. Wow, this is a good place. If you wish, you know, I'm just saying, let us make here three tabernacles, one for you. We'll build you little houses so we get to stay. We don't need a house. I'll make you one for you, Jesus, a little place for Elijah, for Moses. We can just stay here. While he was still speaking, God interrupts his little speech to Jesus. And here's this booming voice again. Behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. Listen to him. Now, do you think that was for Jesus? I'm going to tell you in a minute why I think a little bit of it is for Jesus. Some of it is for the disciples to hear. It's confirmation. And people say, dude, you know, you say you believe that stuff? How are you going to have a problem believing that God can speak out of a cloud if you believe that he made the clouds? You can't explain making anything in the first place, so why are you going to have a hard time accepting that he could say something? This is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. But Jesus came and touched them and said, arise, do not be afraid. When they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. Now as they came down from the mountain, Jesus commanded them, saying,
Tell the vision to no one until the Son of Man is risen from the dead. Don't tell anybody what you saw until I've been raised from the dead. Now, why he said, wait, I don't know. This was for me, and it was for you, it was for us. That's it. Don't tell anybody till later, maybe because they're not going to believe you anyway. You shouldn't go around telling everything to everybody that happens to you. Because not everybody's prepared to hear what you've heard and what you've seen. They'll think you're Looney Tunes. Be wise about what you share, especially if you were smoking weed when you saw it. So he tells them, don't tell anybody. And his disciples asked him, saying, why then do the scribes say that Elijah must come first? And he goes on and explains that. Go to Luke 22, a few pages over. We're getting close to the end here. Not really. I'm trying. I'm hurrying. Luke 22. Luke 22, verse 39. They've had the Last Supper together. Judas has already bolted to go betray him. In fact, Judas is about to show up where they are and have him arrested. So it says, coming out from their communion time together, coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives as he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed him. When he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. An angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. Being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling to the ground. And in this passage, it tells it this way. If you go read some of the Gospels, what happened is he's got the 11 left. He takes the 11. He takes the three, those three again. Says, you guys stay here. Eight of you stay here. I'm taking the three on a little farther. Then he goes on a little farther beyond that. He prays, and three times he comes back and they're asleep. He goes and prays. Comes back, they're asleep. He goes and prays, comes back, they're asleep. What did he need? He needed his buddies awake praying. You can't go pray and do what I'm about to do. I'm by myself, but I got the 11 of you left. I'm going to leave the eight of you here. I need my buddies to go with me and at least stay close to me and hang with me and don't let yourself go to sleep because I need you. I'm a man. I need you as close as possible. And why would he not just go pray and then forget them? Because he kept going back to see if they were with him. And they were not with him. They were with him, but they weren't with him. They should have been on their knees out there going, God, help him. We don't know what's going on, but Father, help him. He's going through a rough time and we are his buddies. What do we do? And they're sleeping three times in a row. He was a human being and God, and it is a very strange combination. Psalm chapter 9. Turn over to Psalm chapter 9. Now, I'm going to try to do this as quick as I can, but let me throw something out here for you. Every once in a while, more than you realize, God Himself, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, you know what they need? Attaboy. What do you think praise and worship? Just think about the word praise. When you praise someone, what are you saying? Attaboy. Good job. How often do you find yourself in a closet somewhere going down the road screaming out to God, good job, God? Now, a lot of men do this when they see hot women. Wow, God, you did a great job on that one. That's not what I'm talking about. When he does something in your life, or if he does nothing, he just is, and that knocks you down by itself. Some of you guys drag your butts in here after the music starts. You go, well, I don't want to go for the worship. You're crazy people. It's not just that you disrespect the band by not showing up. They work hard to come up here and lead us in worship. You get left behind. What's going on here is a comprehensive attempt to teach you to worship. And you say, well, I'm just interested in the preaching. You're not hearing half of what I'm saying when I say it because your wood's wet when you get here. You start listening to me and go, oh, I don't need all that. You need your heart malleable. You need to praise God, worship God. You need to show up and be a part of the whole deal. If mama invites you to lunch, you show up for lunch. You don't show up for dessert. Ah, mom, I don't like your cooking. I just like your pies. You know what? It ain't about eating my cooking. It's about being with me. And this is about us being together with him and learning what this is about. And when you leave here, you learn songs. And when you get out there in temptation or discouragement and you need some encouragement, you start throwing it back on God. Let's read some of these verses. I hadn't planned to be this hard on you, but it's seeming pretty appropriate. So, Psalm 9. Psalm 9, verse 1. Look at the way, now this isn't always the case. Sometimes the psalmist talks about God and how great he is, but a lot of times it is personally directed to him. I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. You say, I don't know what to say to God. Then read the scripture back to him. Get in a room by yourself somewhere, bathroom, wherever you got to do it. Open the Bible, pick a verse like that, stand up there and read it to him. You say, but he's God. He knows he's all that. Why would God need to hear me saying it? You know what? He may need some encouragement along the way to know that you actually get it. And you know what? You may need to hear yourself say it. Because back to where I started, sometimes in this communicating the encouragement, you get the encouragement. Because when you're down, the time you need to worship and praise God is when you're getting your butt kicked. And when you go telling him how great he is, you know what? The bigger God gets, the smaller your problem gets. Well, God, I'm facing this. What do I do? He says, praise me, worship me anyway. And all of a sudden, he gets bigger and bigger and bigger. You go, I guess I don't have any trouble, do I? He says, no, you got me. And I got you. So what's the problem? Instead of just focus on your own little self, oh, God, what are we going to do? And really, you're so upside down, the W is turned into an M, and it's, what am me going to do? What am me going to do? Get some we in the thing and say, God, what are we going to do, you and me? And really, it's you, because I'm out. I got no more answers. But you are amazing. You are marvelous. You are wonderful. You can't even say those words to him and not be overcome with worship. You can't hear me say those words to him and not be affected by it yourself. Just something about hearing somebody praise the Lord. You say, it's a bunch of goofy religious stuff. Maybe to you it is. It isn't to me. It's real. Because this God loves me. He let his son die for me. How can I not think he loves me and cares about me? Do you know where this attaboy actually comes from? It's back from 1909 from a common pronunciation of, that's the boy. That's the boy. Attaboy. That's what God said about Jesus. Attaboy. That's the boy. And he, one day, I realized he was saying that to me. And my little old boy heart inside of me just got so big, I thought, I'm the man. He loves me. You say, dude, you're crazy. You know what? I like my crazy better than your depression. Because I don't feel bad all the time like I used to feel. I used to feel bad most of the time. Till I got to be 20-something years old, I felt bad most of the time. And I masked it by being, you know, all out there and eccentric and whatever I was, being loud and funny. All that was camouflage for my little old heart that was dying inside of me. And God sent somebody along and loved on me and told me that he loved me and that they loved me and it was going to be okay. And I started believing that. And that changed my heart and my mind and my life so that I wouldn't want anybody to feel unnecessarily what I felt for all that time. You don't have to live that way. And I don't even know if this is appropriate to say, I am proud to be one of your pastors. If I had to go recruit a bunch of soldiers to fight with, I'd pick you, most of you. You say, but yeah, dude, but you really like know some of us. Why would you say that? That's why I'd say that. Because if you knew how screwed up I was really, you might not want to have anything to do with me. It's not about how screwed up we are. It's whether we're in the game, going to do the deal, and whether there's progress. If I had the time, I know most everybody in this room, I can go right down the rows, right down the rows. Once were darkness, now there's life. Now there's light. And when there's death, now there's life. The power of Satan, the power of God. You should be encouraged if you're making progress. And most of you are making progress, or you sure as heck wouldn't be sitting here.
Thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks. So many people like you tell us that Richard's unique way of boiling down God's truths and making his word clear and easy to apply to our daily life is what sets this program apart from everything else on your radio. It's been a beacon of honest and realistic ways to grow in our journey with Jesus. And just before we wrap up today, Pastor Richard has some urgent and important news to share.
Hey, this is Richard Ellis, and I just want to take a minute to kind of explain to you where we are and what's going on. Obviously, Jesus is the light of the world, but we're trying to figure out how to keep the lights on at Richard Ellis Talks. And that's where you come in. We have radio stations that provide the mechanism to broadcast it, and the time on there is not free. We have messages that we edit and put on the air, and that's what you hear. But to make all that happen, it requires money, and that's where you come in. We need your help. The listeners, that's all we got. Some of you have been listening for a long time. You pray for us. You're blessed by it. You refer us to other people. But it's time for you guys to step up and step in the game. So please let us hear from you. The world's in a mess and getting darker by the day. And we are trying to keep these lights on and keep proclaiming the good news of the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. So God bless you. Thank you for your support, for your prayers. And we look forward to hearing from you soon.
You can easily make a difference by going to the website richardellistalks.com. Just click on the simple and secure contribute page to become a valued financial partner. Please consider joining this essential effort in keeping the talks coming by literally keeping the lights on. Thank you for praying about this important need today. Your new gift is not just about keeping this program running. It's about maintaining a vital source of light and hope in a world that desperately needs it. The website, richardellistalks.com. And until next time, we look forward to come alongside you for more Richard Ellis Talks.